August Schroeder's summer plans crumble when his RV breaks down in a small town. Still raw with grief over his teenage son Philip's death, the high school science teacher finds himself facing an impossible proposition from mechanic Wes: take Wes's two young sons on the road trip while Wes serves a 90-day jail sentence, or the boys will end up in county care, a situation that previously left 7-year-old Henry mute with trauma. His older brother Seth, only 12, has become both parent and protector in their chaotic home life. What begins as a desperate arrangement transforms into something none of them expected. August, isolated in his grief bubble, suddenly becomes responsible for two vulnerable children. Seth, forced to grow up too quickly, struggles to trust an adult who might actually be reliable. And Henry, watching silently from behind his wall of trauma, carries wounds he cannot articulate. Sometimes, the most profound healing comes through connections we never plan to make. As their RV rolls toward Yellowstone, carrying August's plan to scatter his son's ashes, three broken people begin to form something that resembles a family, not through blood, but through choice and circumstance. Henry's muteness isn't just a character quirk. It's trauma made visible. Having stopped speaking after his time in county care, he communicates through gestures, expressions, and his brother's interpretations. His silence embodies how emotional wounds can literally rob us of voice. August carries his own silence. Though verbally functional, he deflects when conversations approach his pain. At AA meetings, he admits heavy drinking while believing he could stop anytime, another avoidance of what truly hurts. Breakthrough comes when these silences crack. When Henry runs away at the Navajo reservation, his return marks a turning point. August's relief creates an opening for words to emerge. Similarly, when August finally breaks down about his son, the boys embrace him, with Henry stroking his hair as one would pet Woody, a wordless language of comfort. Recovery begins with these broken silences, the courage to articulate pain and allow others to witness our vulnerability. Three models of fatherhood emerge in the story: Wes's neglect, August's grief-stricken absence, and Seth's premature responsibility for Henry. Through these contrasts, we see that true fatherhood isn't defined by biology, but by presence, consistency, and unconditional support. Wes represents irresponsible fatherhood, prioritizing alcohol over his children and ending up in jail. Yet Seth acknowledges his complexity. He's fair in his business. He never cheats anybody. August gradually embodies nurturing fatherhood by establishing boundaries, providing stability, and offering emotional support. When Seth fears rejection after an accident with Philip's ashes, August reassures him, "I would never change my mind over an accident," the unconditional acceptance both boys need. Most poignant is 12-year-old Seth, who became Henry's de facto parent. "I've been like this for so long," Seth admits when August suggests he just be a kid. This responsibility has made him hyper-vigilant and desperate to prove his worth. Sometimes the family you find matters more than the family you're born into. August's grief for Philip evolves from isolating pain to a shared experience. Initially, it manifests as physical constriction, a familiar pain in his chest when seeing children play. His pilgrimage to scatter Philip's ashes represents his solitary approach to mourning. The boy's unexpected presence disrupts this solitude. When Seth asks about his children, August's brief response, "I had a son," marks the first time he articulates his loss to someone new, beginning to integrate grief into his life. At Yellowstone, when August scatters ashes into the campfire, the emotional dam breaks. He retreated to wash the ash from his hands, struggling to breathe. This breakdown, witnessed and supported by the boys who embrace him, shifts grief from private to shared. 8 years later, when the grown boys take August to scatter Philip's remaining ashes at Niagara Falls, the act becomes a shared ritual, showing how grief can transform, not diminishing, but expanding, to include love, connection, and even joy. The national parks in Take Me With You serve as catalysts for healing. Zion's Red Cliffs, Bryce Canyon's Hoodoos, Yellowstone's Geysers, and Niagara Falls provide both visual beauty and metaphorical resonance with the characters' emotional journeys. At Zion, Seth's interest in rock climbers foreshadows his future passion, while the park's vastness helps August begin expanding beyond his grief. Seth's questions about the Court of the Patriarchs mark his first genuine engagement with the future. Movement itself becomes therapeutic. For August, the physical journey parallels his emotional one, each mile creating distance from grief. For the boys, constant motion offers stability, paradoxically found in movement rather than stillness. Years later, when August develops muscular dystrophy and faces physical limitations, the now grown boys insist on continuing their summer journeys, with Seth promising they'd carry him wherever necessary. This reversal, where August once provided mobility for the boys and now they ensure his, demonstrates how healing requires both literal and figurative motion. Communication failures and breakthroughs form a central theme throughout the journey. Henry's muteness represents the most obvious breakdown, while other characters struggle differently. August deflects emotional conversations, Seth masks needs with helpfulness, and Wes's alcoholism embodies unexpressed pain. The novel tracks key communication milestones. Henry's first words to August mark a pivotal moment of trust. When Seth confronts his father about drinking, he discovers an assertive voice. "You're bon all night, and we don't know where you are, and then you're too drunk to get up in the morning." The most dramatic transformation occurs when police arrive to take Henry away. The typically silent boy erupts. "This is the worst thing you ever did to me. You do this because you hate August, because you think he's a better man than you are," representing Henry's complete reclamation of voice. AA meetings serve as spaces where communication is valued, with adults modeling honest expression about difficult topics. Finding one's voice, literally for Henry, metaphorically for others, proves essential to healing. Take Me With You celebrates chosen family relationships, formed through choice rather than biological connection. The journey begins with three isolated individuals: grieving August, burdened Seth, and voiceless Henry. Their unexpected convergence creates a family built on mutual need and growing affection. Unlike narratives emphasizing blood ties, meaningful bonds form between strangers who choose to be present for each other. August initially resists emotional attachment, yet gradually assumes a parental role, establishing boundaries, providing stability, and offering support. The boys, accustomed to Wes's unreliability, learn to depend on August. Seth's concern for August's emotional healing demonstrates their deepening connection. When August breaks down after scattering Philip's ashes, the boys' immediate embrace represents the instinctive comfort family provides. 8 years later, this chosen family theme culminates when the grown boys take August, now struggling with muscular dystrophy, on another journey. Seth's mention of next summer affirms their enduring bond. Family isn't always who you're born to. Sometimes it's who you find and who chooses to remain when the road gets rough.